sorry. It is not an easy thing to say. It is not an easy thing to admit when you are wrong. But that is exactly what the National Hockey League has done with the Vegas Golden Knights. The NHL calls up the National Hockey League and says, I'm sorry. Actually, they said, I'm sorry. And please forgive me. That's, I believe, I haven't gotten it down 100%, but we will hear from the man himself who got the apology, Bill Foley. He forked over $600 million. What was it? I forget now what it was. 500 and something million dollars, and got his own personal apology from the man himself, allegedly. Who did call Bill Foley from the National Hockey League? Well, we'll find out. He's going to tell us in moments. We lead off the show with that. Plus, second round is ahead of us here. Who moves on from here on out? Don't forget, you have your second chance at the NHL Bracket Challenge. So we'll fill out our brackets. Already got you guys in the chat. I'm going to be answering your questions. That's the difference between the Hockey Talk Show and other hockey video things on the internet. Those things, not as good as this thing, because you can talk back and forth to this thing. That's why it's so great. If you're listening on the podcast, you may have caught the show a little too late to get in your predictions or your bracket. That's okay. You are never too late to rate and review on Apple, Google Podcast, or all the rest. You guys know we are available everywhere. We got a lot to talk to and not a lot of time to get to. So let's get started on the Hockey Talk Show. All right, big slate of games. It is 6:31 p.m. in the East on this Thursday. We are just a half hour away from puck drop. Game one, round two, Columbus Blue Jackets, Boston Bruins. It's unbelievable how fast round two sneaks up on you. I mean, it really, really comes up on you pretty damn quickly here. So we're going to go through some of our predictions. But I will tell you, in all my years of doing this, both during my time working for the Islanders and being a broadcaster, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a group of four games, a group of four playoff series that is such a coin toss. I mean, you can flip a coin anywhere up and down this entire tournament and probably land on a winner. It is truly unbelievable how close the playoffs are looking here for the second round. And for the first time ever, as we've seen, and we talked about on the Hockey Talk Show prior to this, Steven, Todd, welcome in. AK, Rob, how's everybody in the chat tonight? The wild cards advanced in all four instances. In all four instances, the wild card team was able to advance. So I want to look around and see if I can find anybody who was like, we need to redo the playoff structure. We should go back to 1-8. It's not fair. It's not fair. By the way, most of those people were in the Toronto media. Most of those people were in the Toronto media who were complaining because they knew damn well that the Leafs could not match up in seven games against the Boston Bruins, and that is exactly what happened. All right, let's get over to Vegas and the big apology here. Bill Foley and George McPhee took to the media podium to address the media and let everybody know they did receive a phone call from the National Hockey League issuing them an apology for the call against Joe Pavelski, or I should say against Cody Eakin on Joe Pavelski. And this is what Bill Foley had to say earlier today.
Actually, I had a call with the league Wednesday morning, and I'd rather not identify the individual, the senior executive with the league, and I wouldn't want to put his name, but it was it's about as senior as you can get in the league. And
that was my favorite part of this whole thing so far. My favorite thing from Bill Foley ever, not that he drafted players out of order on the NHL draft, not that he shelled out $500 million for a team, but that he literally said, I don't want to reveal who the person was who called me and apologized, but he's the most senior, if it is as senior as you can get. Well, obviously that's Gary Bettman. Who's more senior than Gary Bettman? I mean, I guess it could have been Bill Daly or somebody else, but I mean, that is just hilarious to me. The most senior guy. I'm not going to say who, but the most senior guy, Bettman. Bill Foley, I love you. Never change. Never lose that smile and that twinkle in your eye, old man.
called and basically said it was a bad call, it was a mistake. We recognize the mistake, and we acknowledge it. And I did feel a little better after that, that maybe calm me down a little bit. They called a result, and they did not call the act. And they're to call the act, not the result. And our guy, Cody Eakin, didn't do anything. It was just a simple chest cross check, period. And he managed, he got up, and Pavelski was off balance and tripped. Everyone's taking the high road. And I told the players in my little speech this morning, I said, well, I'm not necessarily a high road guy, but I'll do my very best.
The league.
So that was Bill Foley there. And you know what? The thing is, you know, look, I went back and I looked at it, and I was able to watch the whole thing in real time and how the call went down. And I do agree that the referees did react and make that call as a reaction to the injury a little bit more. I think they let the injury affect them a little bit too much in the call. But I went and I looked at that cross check, and it's not like Cody Eakin didn't cross check him. Now, is that a call that you would expect in a playoff match in the third period of game seven? No, I probably wouldn't expect that at all. But that is a call I could see being made. That was a cross check. It was relatively high off a face-off. We don't know what the pace of the rest of the game was. We weren't hearing the conversation of the players and the referees and the officials. You know, look, that's why I say it's very easy to judge and scream after the fact, but we don't know what the pace of the game was. And we'll never know. But I didn't agree with, you know, I can't say that couldn't have been a 2-minute penalty. It could have. Is it normally in a playoff match, again, period three, game seven? Probably not. Probably not. But if you're the referees and you got a guy that has got blood leaking out of his head through the helmet, you know, through his fault or not, even though he tripped over Pacioretty or caught Pacioretty and fell awkwardly, you know, I mean, I have a hard time faulting these referees. I have a hard time faulting these referees. I will say the referees were suspended. And more on that in a second. Let's go over to George McPhee, general manager for the Vegas Golden Knights, and hear what he had to say on the matter.
Reach out and did apologize. You know, they made a mistake. I'm sure they feel bad about it. They want to get things right, like we all want to get things right when we're doing our jobs. You know, with respect to this organization, there'll be no pity parties here.
Even if they didn't say anything, no one has to tell me that I was right saying what I said. I know I was right, so good for them. If they were able to, I mean, it needs a lot of courage to do something like that, I think, as a big organization like them. And good.
That was Jonathan Marchessault there at the end, you know, based off of the comments that he made. And the reaction that the league called to apologize. It's a no-win situation for the league. I mean, you apologize and it's like, you know, Vegas fans are going to be mad forever. You don't apologize and Vegas fans are going to be mad forever. It's an unfortunate circumstance. I think George McPhee had the best mindset on it. Sometimes you get calls, sometimes you don't. The call itself was exaggerated by the 5 minutes and the fact that they gave up three goals on the power play. If they don't do that, nobody cares about this call whatsoever. If San Jose scores two goals and then they tie it up way later or they don't tie it up at all, we're not here talking about this. Referees mess up and it happens. Like I said, I'm okay if you disagree with me, but go back and watch the game. Watch the play in real time and tell me that does not look horrible. It happened so fast. I don't get mad at the referees for their call based on what happened. Now this was brought up to me that the referees huddled and they still got the call wrong. That is a good point. I have a hard time defending that. But again, you know, it's a sticky situation and I thought it was big of the league to apologize. It happens. It happens to everybody. See, the human error thing, and this is why I don't want to go to replays on everything. The human error thing is equal for all teams. Sometimes it's gone against Vegas in this particular case. But there's going to be a scenario in the future where it's going to go for them. And I think, you know, when you step back away from it, like McPhee has had the chance to do, you understand that. You understand that you're going to get the call going the next way. Now, Mr. Furlatt and Mr. O'Halloran, specifically Mr. O'Halloran, because I do not know the other guy all that well, but Dan O'Halloran is a veteran of the National Hockey League, okay? He has done the Stanley Cup Finals in 2007, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. You have a hardcore veteran NHL referee here. O'Halloran reached 1,000 games reffed back in 2013. He has been a referee in the National Hockey League since October of 1995. He also has done the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, including the gold medal game. My friends, you have one of the great referees of the game. And now he's not moving on, and he doesn't get a paycheck anymore because of this call. I just don't know how fair that really is. I understand the apology on behalf of the National Hockey League. I understand taking some action against the referees, speaking to them, but putting some sort of a course together, reviewing it, whatever it is. But to take Dan O'Halloran out of the mix for the rest of the playoffs might have been a little bit of an overreaction in my book. I don't know Eric Furlatt all that well. I don't think he is as senior as Dan O'Halloran. Dan O'Halloran's been around since the beginning of time. I just don't know if that was the right move for me. I probably wouldn't have done that if I was the NHL. But I understand if you have a guy who just paid $500 million for a franchise, lost in the Stanley Cup Finals, and now had this move, you want to have something to show for it. I get it. I kind of get it. Let's go to some of the comments in here, and then we'll take a look at the second round of the playoff action. Some of you guys are commenting on that, so this will mend well together. Steven writes in, honestly, I don't think my Avs will move on. Sharks are too strong for us. We have Cole and Zadorov, and that's it. Michael James would like to see the Islanders go all the way this year. With Tampa out of it and the Washington Capitals now out of it, I feel like this is anybody's game in the East. We had a scenario pre-playoffs where we're like, who's going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? And now we're like, who's going to the Eastern Conference Finals? Because it could be anybody. Could be any of the four teams remaining on the Eastern side. Dallas and St. Louis series will be good. I'm saying Blues in seven, says Steven. Todd, the call at the time seemed good. Agree. John, I want the Isles out. Must be a Carolina fan. Totally fair. Nice comment, John. Dave just wrote, Travis Hamakery. I like wordplay, so I'm going to laugh at that. That's pretty good. Let's go over to the YouTube side of things and see how everybody is doing in there. AK, how do you give up four goals on a five-minute major, though? I will say this. I was at the Barclays Center watching the Islanders and Detroit last season, and the same exact thing happened. I forget how many goals the Islanders scored, but they got a five-minute power play. I remember it was on Cal Clutterbuck. It wasn't the greatest call in the world, but he sold it, as Cal tends to do. And the Islanders stormed all the way back and tied the game. They blew the lead. They tied the game. It went into overtime. They won it in a shootout. It was one of the craziest games I've ever been at. And I've been in a lot of crazy games. And, yeah, I mean, those things happen. Five-minute power plays. Those things can get crazy towards the end there. AK, I'm rooting for the Isles to do well. The only New York team left in the playoffs. Believe it or not, the Islanders, who are the baby brothers of the New York Rangers, if they do well, it bodes well for the National Hockey League. If I'm the National Hockey League, I'm rooting for the Islanders and the San Jose Sharks right now. It's New York. It's California. It's both coasts. They are the smaller market teams in these huge states, but that TV-wise will bode the best for the National Hockey League. I mean, they don't really care. They want seven games either way, but it is what it is. Vasily, Leafs are becoming a joke. Seriously, the Canadian media is a joke. The Canadian media is completely out of hand. They want Mike Babcock's head on a stick, and I cannot believe it. They have given this guy 4 years, and they are unhappy. By the way, Kyle Dubas and Mike Babcock had their clean-out day today. The Leafs had their clean-out day, and they met the media. I'm not going to play any of the clips for you, though, but I did find it interesting that they all met with the media at different times. It's not totally uncommon. I mean, Bill Foley, George McPhee did that today. They all met at separate times so they can have one-on-ones, but this relationship between Babcock and Dubas continues to be an interesting one They're both pretending like there's nothing wrong. The one thing I found interesting that Dubas did, and keep in mind, he's a 32-year-old kid, younger than some of his players, for Christ's sake. Dubas went and took the blame for William Nylander. He said it was his fault that Nylander didn't have a good year and that he let the contract go for way too long. And as soon as he said that, I put my head in my hands. I just thought that was a huge mistake. The players have to be responsible somewhat. If you want to sit out, you have to be responsible enough to be ready to go when you get called back into the game. I'm sorry. That is not Kyle Dubas's fault. Kyle Dubas wants to sit there and go, look, I jumbled the whole thing and I shouldn't have waited till the last minute and blah, blah, blah. That's fine with me. Maybe I had a hand in him doing that. Okay. But you can't sit there and go, William Nylander's bad season was on me. Was it? Because I didn't see a jersey on your back. I didn't see your feet in skates. I saw his. He had a bad year. He should have been ready to go. You know, the whole thing was handled poorly. They signed the contract with 3 minutes left before the deadline or whatever it was. I agree that it was a poorly handled situation, but it's not your fault. And you can't take credit for it. It's a noble move. It just doesn't make sense in that scenario. Really doesn't make sense. So I'm worried about the Maple Leafs. And they asked Kyle Dubas, well, you know, is Mike's job safe, essentially? And he goes, well, I don't know if anybody's job's safe. And he didn't say that as a threat because he followed that up with, you know, look, I'm going to be evaluated by Brendan Shanahan, and then we're going to do the evaluations further and so on and so forth. When it all boils down to it, Mike Babcock's got one more year. And you know what? Mike Babcock doesn't care. He's going to go in here. He's going to do the job. Because when you ask Mike Babcock what went wrong, he said, we didn't have the depth. And whose fault is that? Not the coaches. It's not the president's. It's the general manager's fault. And you can put a little blame on Lou if you want. I'm okay with that, actually. Mike Babcock is pointing a finger at Kyle Dubas. And by the way, the other thing is, everybody was complaining about Austin Matthews, you know, playing time in game 7. He played 18 minutes. I don't know what the hell they want. Tavares played 20. He was maybe a minute or two shy of, you know, his average. I don't see the complaints on the time on ice for Austin Matthews. I get double shifting him a little bit more, playing him with Tavares more. I said he should have done that. He didn't want to make any of the adjustments. I don't know if he was putting an exclamation point on the fact that they struggled there. It came out that Hyman was injured. It's a whole mess in Toronto. AK, good luck with that, my friend. The Canadian media is a joke. They want everyone on the team traded except for their messiahs, Marner and JT. I do find it interesting, and I criticize John Tavares, that nobody is criticizing the $11 million player for only having one goal in the playoffs. Well, and it was an important goal. He scored. They won that game. It was a crucial decision. It was an empty netter. It was an empty netter. He had one goal. It was an empty netter. How does this guy have no criticism? Because the Toronto media are like hypocritical children. He's only spared this because he's there for the first year. Let's see how John Tavares does 3 years into his contract here at $11 million a year with one goal in the playoffs and a first-round exit. Ain't going to fare well. Not going to fare well whatsoever. Rob is excited for his Jackets. AK hopes they destroy Boston. Maybe Vegas should take a good look at their PK. 4 goals in 4 minutes. Let's see here. The cross check was high and at the head level and a hard call to make. Agree. If the cross check is lower, if it's just a shove, you know, you have the argument. It's a cross check. Still pretty high. Mike, who cares about the Leafs? I'm with you, pal. They're yesterday's news. Let's move on to the second round and take a look at these matchups. Islanders are strong, but I think Dallas wins the cup, says Todd. Islanders and Trots all the way, says Dave. Don't forget, if you're in the Hockey Talk Show bracket challenge, you were able to restart. They made that decision. The promotions team over at the NHL and Jägermeister made that move after everybody picked Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay got knocked out. So let's take a look at the bracket challenge. You can see here, your old pal Ant didn't do too bad. I picked the Islanders over Pittsburgh, and that was in 4. I picked Boston over Toronto. I missed Tampa and Columbus. So did everybody else. So I'm not going to count that one against my average too much. And Carolina and Washington, I think most people had Washington. I was wrong. I will admit it. I had Calgary over Colorado. I was wrong about that. I was right about the San Jose Sharks over the Vegas Golden Knights. I was wrong about Nashville over Dallas. Dallas moves on. I was right about St. Louis over Winnipeg. Overall, your old pal Ant was 500. Not the greatest, but if this is baseball, it'll get you into the Hall of Fame. Essentially a push if you're betting. So let's take a look at these second round matchups. I want to first start with Colorado and San Jose. This one's going to be a pretty close one. I mean, they're all going to be really close. And when I take a look at things, I don't love the goaltending for San Jose right now. Martin Jones, not the best, but I do love San Jose's offense. I do love their never die attitude. I do love the win one for a Gipper. This is Joe Thornton's last year. There's a bunch of stuff to love about the San Jose Sharks right now, and they're scoring. They got the points. Thomas Hertl's got six goals. I'm sorry, Tomas Hertl. Logan Couture has six goals right now. They're flying on all cylinders as far as offense goes. Erik Karlsson has woke up. He's got nine points, I should say. San Jose is coming alive here. They're coming alive here. I love Colorado. I really do. In fact, I like Colorado's goaltending a smidge more. I think I just said that, though. I like Philip Grubauer. 1.9 goals against average. Damn it, that's good. Second best. He's tied with Ben Bishop, just behind Robin Lehner. I usually go with goaltending. I'm probably going to go with the better goaltender in most of these series. But I'm going to take the San Jose Sharks in this one. They take it from me. I think they're going on to the conference finals. Dallas and St. Louis. I have been riding the St. Louis train all the way because of Mr. Binnington. Jordan Binnington has been fantastic, but he's got a 2.63 goals against average. Ben Bishop has come out of nowhere with a 1.9 goals against average. Ben Bishop is playing his rear end off. 9.45 save percentage. He is legit the second best goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. Second best. On the offensive side of things, the Dallas Stars are rolling. By the way, 100% on the penalty kill in the playoffs. 100% have not allowed a power play goal against. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty damn impressive if you ask me. Again, I just feel like Dallas has the goaltending right now. They're moving in the right direction. Radulov is a +7. Their goal scoring is kind of spread out, but they're getting it done. I like their back end. I can't believe I'm going against the Blues here, but give me the Dallas Stars. Over in the east side, you might be able to call me hypocritical here, but I think a game 7, double overtime situation. I like the Carolina Hurricanes win one for the Gipper. Good old 14, Mr. Game 7. Feeling cute. Might take my team to the second round. I don't know. Carolina's good. I like them a lot. But again, can they solve the best goaltender in the National Hockey League? Robin Lehner is on fire. 1.47 goals against. About a half a goal lead again over Grubauer and Ben Bishop. They have the better goaltending. They have sneaky scoring. So does Carolina. Carolina's got momentum, but I'm wondering how they fare game one at the Barclays Center, because as we've seen with the Islanders, the crowds are ridiculous, no matter where they are, and it's going to be crazy at the Barclays Center. This is round two. This team has only been there twice in the last few years. Last time they ran into the Washington Capitals, Barry Trotz's team. But you give me the goaltending and you give me the fact that I think Carolina will stumble out of the gate in this series because game 7, double overtime. I tracked the Carolina Hurricanes. The team went out for dinner afterwards, so they were out late. They probably woke up late in D.C. last night. Got a flight or a train up to New York, settled in, I don't know if they're going to be ready to go for the New York Islanders in game one. And I think if you give the Islanders home ice, Robin Leonard, and game one in the bag, it's the New York Islanders moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Nobody believed it would happen, but there they are. There they are. Boston and Columbus, let's bring up the stats for this one here really quickly. As you can see, Boston has the statistical advantage into this, but take a look. 0.01 goals advantage. Just a slight goals against advantage. A considerable power play advantage. The Bruins' power play is great. Really great. Columbus has the better penalty kill. Faceoffs is around the same point percentage. The advantage is Boston there. You got some good goaltenders in the mix here. Bobrovsky's got a 2 goals against average. Tuukka Rask, 2.32. I mean, guys, this is a coin toss. I like John Tortorella as a motivational coach. Columbus has this advantage in that they don't have anything to lose. They're the wild card. Even with all the moves of the deadline, nobody was really picking them to be there. This is kind of their swan song. A lot of these guys aren't going to be there in the offseason. But the Boston Bruins, even though the pressure is on them, even though they're statistically the best team left in the league, in the East right now, even though they're the ones that everybody thought was going to get there, even though that's a bit of pressure, I still like Boston to move on in this. I'm going to go with the stats. I think it's a knockdown, dragout series. I think it goes 6 or 7, but I think it goes to the Boston Bruins. I never thought I would see this look, but here you go. San Jose, Dallas, Boston, and the Islanders. Of course, we'll repick this once we get to the third round of the playoffs. We're going to be a little looser with it now. I think this is the year for the San Jose Sharks, and I think the Islanders, even though they're on a great run, even though I could regret this in a big way, because Robin Leonard is the best goaltender in this league. Again, this is why I say you got to reevaluate these picks after each and every single one. Because if Robin Leonard is able to maintain against the Carolina Hurricanes, and we're still looking at him with less than a goal and a half given up per game, I'm changing my pick here. But I am going to go with the Boston Bruins to move on to the next round. Boston, San Jose, not a bad consolation for the National Hockey League. It's not New York and California. It's Boston and California. And give me the San Jose Sharks. Joe Thornton rides off in his golden white horse into the sunset and takes the Stanley Cup finally after all these years. And her goal scored in the Stanley Cup final. Give me 23. Good old Michael Jordan. All right, so there's my bracket right there. Now, I will say this. I'm going to stick with San Jose into the Stanley Cup final. I just don't know about the Islanders in Boston. I wouldn't be surprised. Here's what I will say to the Islander fans, and I want you guys to get excited about this. You have every right to be. And this is not to say that you can look past Carolina, because you can't. The Islanders have an opportunity to compete for a Stanley Cup this year. They absolutely do. Your style is magnificent. It's made for the playoffs. You've shown that high-powered offense like the Pittsburgh Penguins have mean nothing. You've got the defensive system, and you've got the best goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. How many times have we looked at goaltenders in the playoffs and the absolute best goaltenders team won the cup? A lot of times. A lot of times. I got the Sharks, Blues, Isles, Jackets in the conference finals. I got the Blues beating the Isles in the finals. That's AK. Liz, I'm hoping for a Columbus Blue Jackets, St. Louis, JD finals. I didn't even notice that. See? And that's a hardcore Ranger fan just hoping that he has the absolute best. I didn't realize that. Those are two of JD's teams. Absolutely. Good point. Excellent analysis there, Liz. Good on you for that one. Let's see. Lee, they can keep their apologies and get the calls right. I wish the world was a perfect place, Lee. It just ain't. Sharks could be a Cinderella. They really could be. They really, really could be. This could be the year especially, God forbid, if Martin Jones snaps into it. If Martin Jones plays up to his potential where he was in the past, could be super dangerous. Could be super dangerous. Guess what? It's time to put my kids to sleep. I must go. It is also time to drop the puck in Columbus. Make that Boston. Columbus and Boston from the Garden. Game one tonight, 7 o'clock. Gimme Boston at home. 9:30, we get the first game between Dallas and St. Louis. I pick Dallas in the series. Gimme St. Louis at home tonight. They take game one. Enjoy the hockey, guys. No show tomorrow, but looks like we're going to game one at the Barclays Center. So there might be some video to put up. So check the YouTube, check the Facebook, but there will be no live show from the studio here. But we might have an upload for you. At the very least, some pictures, maybe some live blogging on the Twitter. So make sure you're following along at Hockey Talk Show. The podcast is available on Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, Spotify, everywhere podcasts are available. And of course, at our home at HockeyTalkShow.com. We jumped up huge on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter in numbers. The podcast actually jumped up pretty big over the course of the last few days. That means you guys are spreading the word. You're sharing on your social media accounts. You're telling your hockey fan friends, and we are growing, and I thank you for that, and I tell you to please keep it up. Again, if you're watching live here on YouTube or Facebook, the podcast is going up shortly. If you have time, go on over and give it a listen on any of the networks, even at HockeyTalkShow.com. Just go ahead and play it for the first 2 to 3 minutes. If the ads play, we get credit, a little coin in your old pal Ant's pocket so we can keep this hockey train rolling here on the Hockey Chalk Show. Enjoy the action tonight.